This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Mark Stierin, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light duty towing in Litchfield. DC Waste and Recycling in Hillsboro. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. Huff & Sons Funeral Homes, Hillsboro, Raymond, and Farmersville. CTI Tech bringing 1 gig internet to Hillsboro and beyond. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. And Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. And now, Sports Saturday, live from the Old Time Tractor Show in Hillsboro.
All right, Levi Ubelt, thank you so much. Tim Mize here on Sports Saturday. It's going to be a warm one, but there's plenty of shade out here at the Hillsboro Lake by the old Fireman's Clubhouse, and we're going to have a good time here this morning on Sports Saturday. We got some interviews lined up for you. Of course, Steve Kimbrough, the announcement was made this week that this upcoming season will be his 39th and final season as boys basketball coach at Nokomis. Had the chance to talk to Coach Kimbrough this morning. We'll bring you that interview. Tim Crotterville, he will be going into the Southern Illinois University Carbondale Athletics Hall of Fame coming up in October. We'll bring you a conversation with Tim, and we have Topper football coach Aaron Duff lined up as well. They're over at the 7-on-7 today in Monroe Forsyth, but we got some words from Coach Duff yesterday, so we'll get his thoughts on the upcoming football season. But we want to start Sports Saturday this week talking about the Old Time Tractor Show, and joining us right now is Arlen Cass and Judy Probst, and I want to thank both of you for a few minutes of your time today, and the 24th annual Tractor Show. Can you believe it's been 24 years?
No. Where has time gone? I think I'm getting old, right?
It flies when you're having fun, they say.
Yeah. We're out here at the lake, and the trees were little bitty things, and now they're tall and big trees, and we've got shade, and we've got a little breeze, so that's good.
When it's going to be warm like it is today, and it's July in Illinois, we expect it to be warm, but yeah, shade and a breeze go a long way, and we have both of those things. And I guess, Arlen, you're officially the man with all the answers as far as the old-time tractor show is considered. And it's just a beautiful collection of tractors you have out here. And just talk a little bit about the tractors, some of the people who supplied the tractors.
Whoever enjoys tractors and everything like this, they'll come in they're not invited. I mean, invited, but
anybody can come.
Anybody can come.
Anybody can come. Uh-huh. I think Arlen, you have 6 or 7 here, don't you?
Yeah, my son does. I got about 2.
Yeah.
He restores them and everything like this. So.
Right.
And it really is a neat sight. Like, since we've been here this morning, there's been a number of tractors that have come in, and it's really cool to see someone driving up on one of those classic tractors.
Yes. We have some really pretty tractors. The paint jobs on some of them is terrific, but they don't have to be painted up. We don't care. We have an old Wallace down there. It's a 1927, I think. I mean, that's steel wheeled, and it's pretty cool.
Like, you know, you think now, like, tractors are just ridiculous with the technology, the GPS, the air seats, for goodness sakes, and all that. But back in the day with the steel wheel, that was a lot better than a horse.
It was a lot better than a horse. And you know what? They were a lot simpler than they are today. Yeah, it's a lot easier to work on them and fix them, you know?
You can actually fix them yourself.
Yeah.
Imagine
you don't
that.
Have to have a computer and technician to tell you what's wrong with it, you know?
Yeah.
So we're out here at the Hillsboro Lake for the Old Time Tractor Show. I know coming up later this morning, going to have the pedal tractor pull. That is very cool. All the money will go to the Montgomery County Cancer Association.
We're having some high school kids and adults. Hopefully they'll come out.
They'll be here.
I hope so. And just throw in a donation to the American Cancer Society. That's where it's going to go. But we also have pedal pulls for, we have 5 age groups. Let me think, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, maybe.
Okay.
But anyway, but that will be later on this morning. It's put on by Tot Rod Pedal Pulls from Assumption. He has some really pretty tractors, and he's working with us to do this. And so, yeah. And then this afternoon we'll have tractor games. And then at 2 o'clock we stop for pedal tractor races. The little kids get on the pedal tractors, and they just pedal their hearts out. And, yeah, we give them a little gift, you know.
That will be popular.
I hope so. Some of the kids used to do it are getting bigger. But, you know, yeah.
Now, you mentioned tractor games. What exactly does that entail?
That is Arlen.
Arlen, go.
Well, that, we time them a certain length of the track. We got a track out here, and we time them. And then if they
you gonna do slow races?
Yeah, we'll do slow races.
Slow races and I don't know. You're gonna do? I'm not sure which ones you're doing. You doing the commodes?
Yeah.
The commodes. The commodes.
Well, what in the world is that?
That's interesting.
It's a 5-gallon bucket with a commode top, and you raise the lid. And you get toilet paper to throw in them.
That sounds like a fan favorite right there.
The most, you know, the most they get in the shortest period of time, really. Uh-huh. It's really the most they get in. I mean, that's how we figure out the winners, you know. So, yeah, and that's kind of cute.
Yeah, yeah, that, I'm sure that's very popular.
And then my son likes the chain pile, the square box out there. And put chains behind the tractor, and you go and then
forwards and backwards.
And backwards and
get
backwards,
all in the square.
Pull a pin, and
it all has to go into the
go in the square.
Uh-huh. It's timed.
Yeah, that is so cool. And there's so many different things you guys are going to have going on out here tonight. And one of the things, back to the pedal tractor pulls, the Hillsboro sports teams are going to be involved in a pedal tractor pull challenge.
That's what we've been told.
Boys versus girls. That's what it's all about right there.
Yeah, that's what Mr. Downs got together, I believe. So I think he's responsible for that.
That he is responsible for that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any questions and concerns about that, you contact Downs.
You ask him. Right. Okay.
And I know all the money for that will be going to the MCCA.
Right.
And, of course, you know, Terry Tote would have loved being out here today.
Yeah,
you know,
he
was
a
big supporter of the Montgomery County Cancer Association.
And see, those tractors there, we're selling raffle tickets on that.
No, you can go ahead.
We're selling tickets on that. We're going to draw for those tomorrow. And this isn't really, hasn't anything to do with the show money.
No, that's it.
This is all.
That's all cancer.
All for the cancer.
And I mean, it's amazing how pervasive the cancer is. And there isn't one of us that hasn't either been directly affected by it or know someone who was directly affected
by it. In our family,
it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody has been, you know, has been touched by it. Yeah. So, anyway, Andy's been doing this for several years, and we usually
At nighttime, somebody stays out here. I stayed last night all night, and then...
He's our security.
There's a beautiful camp facility out here.
Yeah.
Beautiful
yeah.
facility.
Yeah. It's really pretty with all the tractors on the hills. It just really looks nice.
And, you know, events like this, this is what small-town communities are all about. Mm-hmm. You know, coming out on a beautiful summer day, seeing your neighbors and your friends, and enjoying some old tractors. And I guess when you guys, let's go back to the beginning of this. We mentioned this is the 24th one. When you start something like this, you hope that it will be popular enough to make it this long. But when you guys came up with the original idea, let's have an old-time tractor. So just talk a little bit about the initial conversations to that and what your expectations were.
Yeah. Well, it was started back in 1996. Harold Witten wanted to bring people to Hillsboro.
Yeah.
He wanted it on Main Street. We were on Main Street for 2 years, but the second year it was like 100 degrees. And between the buildings and the asphalt, it was really hot. The asphalt was sticky. So in 98, we moved it out here. But he just wanted it to bring people into Hillsboro. That's what it was started.
Talking with Arlen Kasson and Judy Probst about the old-time tractor show out here at the Hillsboro Lake Grounds. And I guess if you're not familiar where it's at, just go out towards the sports complex and then head towards the country club and weave your way back. And then you're going to see all these beautiful classic tractors sitting on the hillside and think, okay, I'm here now.
You're here. Yeah. Yeah, we have parking. I mean, so just come on out.
Anything else that you guys would like people to know about the old-time tractor show for today and just kind of as a whole? Because it does take support to keep something like this moving.
Right.
I
mean,
I can't think of anything.
You know, area businesses have donated.
Donated a lot.
Door prizes and money to do this. And, I mean, it takes a whole bunch of people to keep this going.
Takes a village.
It does.
Judy Probst and Arlen Kasten, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. Thank you for putting this event on, and best of luck today. I know we're going to have a good turnout, and everybody's going to enjoy it.
Thank you.
All right. We are out here at the 24th Annual Old Time Tractor Show in Hillsboro. We'll take a break. Sports Saturday rolls on following these messages. All right, Levi Ubell, thank you so much. We are back here at the Old Time Tractor Show, the 24th Annual, out here at the Hillsboro Lake Grounds, and happy to be joined right now by Brett Teakin, of course, girls basketball coach, softball coach, and Teak, Donnie Downs tasked you with getting some of your ladies out here for the Topper Challenge pedal tractor pull. That's going to be at 11 o'clock, and they'll show up.
I think there'll be a few of them here. There's a lot of things going on. I know some of them are playing the softball tournaments and vacations and stuff like that going on. So hopefully we'll have a few of them here.
And that is all the money raised, and that's going to go to the Montgomery County Cancer Association, which, of course, is just such a wonderful organization around the area. Terry Tote was a big supporter of the MCCA, and, of course, he lost his battle with cancer a few months ago. And, Teak, you had a special relationship with Terry over the years.
Oh, Terry called games whenever I was in high school, and that was a long time ago. So, I've known Terry for a long time, and he did such a great job with sports in this area, and it didn't matter whether I know he was from Raymond, whether it was Raymond or Nokomis or Hillsboro or Litchfield, he would be excited for whoever was making a run or he was broadcasting that night.
And we'll be rebroadcasting your 2006 state championship game coming up the first weekend of August. Of course, Terry was on the microphone for that. And I remember he told a really funny story about during that run. Of course, he followed you the whole way. And the super sectional that year was at the same place where I think the super sectional was your year at Nokomis when you went to state. And, of course, you hit a big, long shot in that ball game. And Terry said he took the girls out to the floor. He said, "Now, this is where Teak made the shot." And then he walked back about 15, 20 feet and said, "Now, this is where he's going to tell you that he made the shot."
Yeah, the longer it goes, the farther back
it gets. Absolutely. That's how that works. We all get a little better with each passing year. And, of course, you had the privilege to be at the beginning of Steve Kimbrough's run, as we know now that this upcoming season will be Coach Kimbrough's 39th and final season at Nokomis. But you were there. You were on that magical team. His second year, you went all the way to the state tournament. But just kind of talk about your memories of playing for Coach Kimbrough, and then years later being in the coaching fraternity with Coach Kimbrough.
Whenever Coach took over my junior year, he was very, and he still is hard-nosed, but I think he has softened a little bit over the years. Yeah. He always tells me it's because the players got better. but anyway, you did it right. If we were running a drill in practice, if you weren't doing it right, you'd do it until you did it right. And if you wanted to move on and do something else, you better do it right. And that was one thing that he always stressed and always has been, obviously, a big defensive and rebounding, stress those things. And, that second year, whenever, we went to state, it just seemed like everything kind of fell into place. We were a senior dominated group. Many of us had played the year before whenever he had first taken over. And it was just a blast of a year to go through and stuff that year, and got beat in the Elite Eight up at Champaign at that time.
And, of course, that was back in the day where if you lost in the Elite Eight, you were done.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, two-class system yet then, and if you had to make it to the Final Four to get two games up at the state tournament, so, and then you'd get three because you won the first day. So a lot different too, because whenever we went, the first time we walked into Assembly Hall was for a game.
Oh wow.
For warm-ups. You didn't get a practice on the floor or anything. You went there for the game and you go.
And that really has changed, because obviously you were just back at state this year with your Topper team. And for me, some of the memories that I have the most of that weekend is that Thursday practice day when you're in Redbird Arena and there's no one else there.
Yeah, it gives the players a chance to get a little bit of accustomed to it and can get up and down on the court and just kind of understand what it's like. And there's so many things going on. They're running you from here to there, pictures and interviewing some of the players and stuff like that. So it's a very hectic day, but it's a day where just you and your team, you can kind of have fun with it and relax a little bit before you get into the competition of the state tournament.
And that was such a magical run. And we talked about it at the time. When you get up there now, you know where the end of your season is, opposed to the rest of the postseason where you're fighting a single elimination, you got to win, or you're done. When you get there, you know, okay, we've got two more games. And for such a senior-dominated team, they knew where the end was.
Yeah, and that was different from 06. Whenever we went in 06, it was still a two-class mm-hmm. system, and we had to win on Friday to get the two more games. So then on Saturday, it was all into one day, and then you knew you were going to get two games on that day. But, yeah, it was a little bit, I don't know if you'd say relaxing, but it was a little bit comforting, I guess you'd say, to know that you're going to go up there, you're going to come home with a trophy, and you're going to get two games on Redbird Arena floor. So, yeah, it was a little bit different feeling going up there this time than last time.
You know, I've had people ask me over the years, you've had the privilege to coach so many great players, but inevitably it comes back to Hope Schulte-Pankow and Sammy Matouche, and they're not the same player, but boy, they were both great.
Yeah, they are. They kind of taking a line from Tony La Russa, I guess. It'd be like 1A and 1A. they're tied for first.
Yes.
You'd be lucky to have one of them, and I've had the privilege to coach both of them, and it was a lot of fun.
I think the difference for Sammy was she had to deal with the greatness of Hope. Because when Sammy was coming up, everybody said, well, she's the next Hope Schulte. That's a lot of pressure on a kid. And she lived up to it.
Yeah, Hope was getting comparisons to Molly McDowell.
Right.
So there's, whenever you got an area where there's been a lot of great basketball players, the comparisons are going to come along and stuff. But yeah, being from the same school and everything, there was always the comparisons of Hope and Sammy. And they're both great players. A little different types of players, mm-hmm. but both great players.
And you, remember, Coach Kimbrell mentioned this morning, we'll talk to him and bring that interview a little bit later, but he said, Teek's his own coach. He hasn't just taken everything that I did and instilled it into his program. You know, you've taken bits and pieces, but you're your own guy. You have your own system. You do your own thing. But to have the ability to fall back on a guy like Steve Kimbrell, what an asset.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's been nothing but helpful throughout the years. Anytime I've had a question, I could easily go to him and ask and stuff. We do run a little bit different systems. We're a little bit different type of coaches and stuff. But there are certain things that, I mean, we ran drills. If they weren't putting the effort out or doing it the way we wanted it done, we've done drills for 10 minutes before. we put them on the line and made them run if they're not putting out the effort and stuff like that. There's certain aspects that I definitely picked up from Coach Kimbrough and playing for him. But as far as the style of the game goes, we're a little bit different. And it depends on the players you have, too. But we're a little bit different.
Well, and that leads me into what my next question was going to be about. You have to be able to adapt to the personnel you have. In the last several years, you've had such good guards.
Yeah.
That's been the strength of your team. But now this year, you're still going to have solid guard play, but you got Claire Tester coming back, Nakia Harston coming back, two really good interior players.
Yeah, and Macy Blankenship coming back. So we are going to be a much different type of team, and that was one of the first things I told the girls this summer before we started our summer basketball stuff is don't come out and try to play the same way we played the last couple of games. We can still be successful, mm-hmm. but we're going to have to do it in a little bit different way. And we're not going to be quite as guard-oriented. We got some girls that can handle the ball and shoot the ball, but not the number of them that we've had in the past. And we're going to be playing a lot of post players, and we're going to be looking to get the ball inside a little bit more.
So that will be fun coming up for the basketball season. Of course, you also double dip as the softball coach as well. And I know your guys' season came to a close earlier than you wanted to this year, but man, that was a fun ride too.
Yeah, we had a great season in softball. We had some great seniors out there and senior leadership, between, Kai and Sheridan and,
You just had a host of them.
I mean, you look at them. We had leadership all throughout, and it was great. And two of them are going on to play at the next level. Sheridan is still considering a little bit, but Katie Shockey and Kai are going on. Katie's already living in Springfield. That's why she said she wouldn't be here today. And Kai is at a softball tournament in Alabama, but she's going on to SLU. So it was a great season in softball, too. And this senior class, both sports had some really talented young ladies in it.
What a senior group that was. And was that something that was evident, like, early on in high school? It's like, holy crap, there is a lot of good athletes in this one group.
Well, you could see it. I mean, in junior high, they won the one state in basketball, and on all of them pretty much played in junior high. Katie and Kai played in junior high also. Then they specialized a little bit more in softball as they got along, and rightfully so. They're both great softball players. It was a class, and you get that comes through once in a while, they just were very talented, and they really worked at their sport too. I mean, Sammy was playing basketball year round. Kai and Katie both were playing softball year round. Sheridan was playing softball year round. So it's not like they just, we're good, so we don't have to do anything. They continued to improve and they continued to get better, and that's what made them what they were.
Sheridan Lyrilla just seems like one of those kids that just has that infectious type of personality. Like even during the basketball season, she maybe didn't get a lot of minutes, but you could just see how important she was.
Yeah, she's an energy out there. She's always, if she's not in the game, she's into the game, and she's keeping the girls engaged. And on the softball field, she was always talking to each other, and her and Kai both on the infield especially, talking through things. I'm going to be here, you be there, and stuff like that. But, she just had an energy about her that was really a joy to coach for 4 years in two sports.
Talk about the challenges you have coaching two sports in the summertime, trying to balance everything, because every coach for every sport, they want the kids in their sport to be at their summer stuff. But there's only so many hours in the day. The summer keeps getting shorter and shorter. School always seems to start about a week earlier every year. So how do you approach your summer work?
Well, with softball, I kind of look at it that the girls that really want to play softball are already on a summer team.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really do a lot during the summer. I used to do a little bit more than I do. I have the last few years because so many of the girls are already playing summer softball, so I just kind of let them go and do their thing, and then kind of focus on basketball, and we try to do pretty much all of it in June and then give them July and the little bit we have in August to themselves.
That seems like something maybe you picked up from Nokomis, because I know they do basically 1 month, let's get 100% participation for 1 month, and instead of kind of staggering out over the course of the whole summer and maybe not having as good of attendance.
Yeah, Coach Kimbrough did that quite a bit, just really concentrated for about a month and get them in the gym. And now there's a lot more team aspect of it in the summer. Now you go to team camps, and we went to Vincennes and Greenville. And we probably played about 25 games this summer. But it's all within about a 3 to 4 week time frame, and then we're done, and you have the rest of the summer to yourselves, or if other coaches are wanting you to do something else, that too. So, I guess whenever you think about it, we kind of did it, but it was a lot different because we were in the gym most of the time back whenever I was in high school.
Yeah.
Now we're in the gym, and we're also going and playing against other teams.
Talking with Brett Teakin here at the 24th Annual Old Time Tractor Show. We're going to take a break. Can you stick around? I want to play the Steve Kimbrough interview and then kind of get your thoughts on
okay.
The other side.
Sure.
So we had a chance earlier today to talk with Steve Kimbrough. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll bring you the conversation with Steve Kimbrough following these messages on Sports Saturday.
We're talking with Hall of Fame basketball coach Steve Kimbrough, who made the announcement this week that this upcoming basketball season will be his final one on the sidelines for Nokomis, and we're happy to be joined by Coach right now. And Steve, I guess just kind of take us through the process, how you came to the decision.
Oh, well, it's something that I've thought about for a few years. talked over with Brian, my assistant coach, and he's kind of, one of the things is he's retiring from teaching. He's got one more year left, and what he's going to do after that point, kind of just put things together and decide that this would probably be just a good time to step away and give somebody else an opportunity to step in. I'd let the school know, throughout the season last year that probably, one more would probably do it. And I gave them a written notification in May. So, they've held off until I got hired and accepted the letter that, I would be retiring at the end of this next season.
And when a person's been doing something as long as you've been doing it, I know they always seem to say the same thing. It was just time. I knew that it was time.
Yeah, and I can't say it hasn't been a little bit harder to, get ready and approach each season. And I do a lot less than most coaches, through the summer and different things. But, it gets harder to get going. Once the season starts, when practice starts, I think I'm just as intense as I used to be, but it gets a little harder to get things scheduled and get to the summer activities, which, again, we do a lot less than most. But what we do works for us, and the kids give us almost 100%. And that's one of the things that we started backing off some of the summer activities is, we'd have a lot of activities and get maybe a 70-80% participation since we've shortened what we do. Condensed it, we have almost 100% in our open gyms and almost 100% in what we do when we go to our camp. So we may not do as much, but what we do is quality over quantity.
And, Steve, obviously you've got a good team coming back this year. Will it be a challenge to make sure that the group this year doesn't put too much pressure on themselves, knowing that it's your last year?
I don't think so. I've never talked to them about this. Maybe we get back in and start getting into practice in November. Maybe we'll sit down and just say, I'm not going to put any more pressure on being my last year. In fact, I might be a little bit more relaxed, which might actually make them a little bit better.
Yeah.
So I don't think that they'll feel any more pressure. They're competitive in their own nature. They want to win as much for themselves as they would for the coaches. So you never know. You got to see where it goes and kind of read between the lines sometimes as what's going on in their head, which is hard to do anyway. But I think we'll just go out and compete and do what we've always done.
As you look back, and you always seem like the type of guy to me, Coach, that you're looking forward more so than back. But have you reflected at all, knowing this is going to be your last year, about the ride that it's been? Because it's been quite the ride.
The one thing is, the people that have worked for me, in the program, it's made the program successful. It's not about what I've done. It's a group of people. And, I said this whenever we had the Lincoln game and then talking about the 800 wins that, as I say, I guess I've been a steward of the program. The program was successful when I came into it, and I've just been able to maintain what's happened there. But somebody else, probably in particular, you look at Lauren Wallace and even Roger or Farrell Flatt, he had a successful couple years before Lauren came in, and Roger Kraft, and then Maury, and then myself. So, I follow two Hall of Fame coaches in Maury and Lauren. So, the program was there. I've just been lucky to have good people around me, and I've had people for a lot of years. I think the consistency of that has helped, with my junior high coaches, people that were in the positions for, 14, 15 years or more, my assistant coaches. And in 39 years, I've basically had three assistant coaches. Dick Evans and Brian Peaceful, and then one year Brian was working with his boys in junior high, and Dan Clavin, who was my freshman coach for something like 12, 14 years, stepped in as a JV coach. So I think that has something, the consistency of the people that are around that know the program, and at some point it basically runs itself. And then the other thing are the kids. Our kids have always worked hard, and that's the main thing. We had probably handful of just great players, but we've had hundreds of good players with great character and the willingness to work hard, and that's what has that's made it successful. You know, they go out and they build that chemistry, and they make it happen, and that's why we have been successful as much as we have. Not about what I do, it's what the group has done.
Coach, I would say that when a lot of people think of Nokomis basketball, they think of two things. Of course, the 1-2-2 probably comes to mind first. But the other is, you guys are not in a Christmas tournament. And I know a lot of people, there's kind of a lore around what you guys do during Christmas. The stories of practices, turn the heat up in the gym, work real hard. How much of that is true? And how much of that is kind of, I guess, an urban legend that has grown over the course of time? Because, man, you guys always come out of that holiday break ripping and roaring.
You want me to give my secrets away? Is that it?
Well, you are about done, Steve. You are about done now.
We don't do anything. You know, we approach Christmas. The one thing you have at Christmas point is you know what problem you have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go into the start of the season. You know, you're preparing everything, trying to put everything in. You get into that Christmas break. You know what your problems are, and you know what you've got to work on. You know, we take a couple days to. You know, we take 4 to 5 days off, and then once we get back in the gym, you know, it's rough for 2 or 3 days because you get out of shape. And once we get back into that point, you know, we don't crank the heat up in the gym, and we don't spend 4 to 5 hours in there. But what we work on, we know are problems that we have. And then we come out of that, and we go into the Morrisonville tournament, and we've actually got a couple games in between there. You know, Morrisonville's been very good to us. It's close to home. It's almost like a home court for us also. And that's the one tournament we're the big dog.
Right.
You know, we go in there, although with the addition of Carlinville and Vandalia the last few years, you know, we're the big school over there. So, and our kids, again, after a couple weeks of practice, they're hungry to get back out on the floor. And once we shake the rust off, typically we've done them well.
And your conditioning is always so impressive, at least from my perspective where I sit during the game. You guys never appear to be tired. And the style and the way that you play, you can't afford to be tired.
Well, our kids, again, you're focused on what you have to do, what, you know, where you're supposed to be, as opposed to, you know, boy, I'm tired. And we, you know, we don't do a lot of sprinting in practice, but, you know, the things we do, we make them focus on other things. You know, you've got a job to do, go do that. Don't worry. Don't think about being tired. And the kids that are able to do that, and again, get through practice, you know, we try to do one thing after another with short breaks, which we try to simulate as much as what we do in a game where, you know, you work hard, get to where you've got to be, do what you've got to do, and when you get a chance to rest, then you rest. You don't find, you know, as many rest stations as you can through practice. And I think it's the combination that's the way we practice. That's they get a frame of mind, and then they go out into the game. Of course, when you get in the game, it's actually easier because you're competing against an opponent, and your focus is what you have got to do to give yourself the best chance to win.
Steve, your first year losing season, 3 of the first 4 years for you losing seasons, but you haven't had one since. 1985 is the last time you had a losing season. As you were in the midst of your first few years, you mentioned you followed a couple of Hall of Fame coaches. Did you think, gosh, we got to pick it up here?
Boy, you're asking me to think back. But that the 1 year we had with winning was a good one. You know, we made it to the Elite Eight that year. You know, and that was because those kids that were seniors that year had, you know, played since sophomores for the main part. You know, so again, I was able to step in, and you know, I can remember as starting out as a coach. You know, the one thing was, well, I'd sure like to see the locker room in the assembly hall. Of course, back then we were in Champaign at the state tournament, and I, you know, fortunate enough, in my second year as a coach, I was able to get there and do something like that. So, you know, that's a goal for any coach to have an opportunity to get to the state tournament, and I was able to do that. You know, and. You know, yeah, we struggle the next couple of years, and I guess, as they always say, you develop your philosophy and start teaching what is important to you and getting the kids to buy into it. So, you know, I just, again, it's been fortunate that it's as much or more so of what the kids have been able to do and how they transition from year to year and how they make the chemistry work and put the pieces together and the people that I have helping me are as much responsible for that as anything.
And you mentioned the year you went to state. Brett Teakin was part of that team. What has it been like for you to be able to watch him have the type of success he's had as a coach?
Very proud of him. And you know, he's not out there doing everything that we did. He's his own coach, and it's, you know, you figure those things out. You know, he's won a state championship. He took second last year, you know. So, you know, very proud of what he's done, because I know how hard it is to do that. Mm-hmm. And he's had a lot of success over there over the years, you know, record-wise, year after year, consistency. And I think that's the one thing that you look at is you know, the consistency that you had, you know, tells you about the program and who's running it.
And, Coach, the last thing I do want to mention, Terry Toke, because I know you guys were very close. He thought the absolute world of you, not just what you were as a basketball coach, but what you are off the floor as well. And I know that his loss, it hit you deeply.
Terry was a great guy. You know, we had a couple little inside jokes that we went through with. Now, I am so happy that his family was able to share Terry with so many of us, mm-hmm. not just Nokomis, but you know, all the nights through the week that he was out doing ball games, you know, that like I say, his family shared him with a lot of athletes, a lot of coaches, and a lot of people throughout the community. When he could have been home spending time with them, he was with us.
That's right. Steve Kimbrough, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time today, and we look forward to the final season in your Hall of Fame career. It's been a great ride, sir, and a pleasure to watch.
Thank you.
That is Steve Kimbrough, and he will be getting set for his 39th and final season at Nokomis. And Brett Teakin joining us, of course, the girls basketball coach at Hillsboro, played for Coach Kimbrough back in the early 80s. And Kimbrough's he's a laser-focused guy. Do you think he is ready for the farewell tour that he's going to have to go on this year?
I don't know. He doesn't like those type of things. he'd rather the attention be focused on his team and not on him and stuff like that. I think he'll probably appreciate it, but at times be a little uncomfortable with it too.
Now, whatever you do, don't get him a rocking chair, I would say.
No, he won't be sitting down doing nothing, I guarantee that.
And, of course, he mentioned the 800th win he got this year. That was such a neat moment. And then during the season, you were involved where they invited all the former players who had played for Coach Kimbrough to come back. That was a neat night, and that was a big photograph on the floor.
Yeah, there was a lot of them that came back, a lot of us from the early days and some of the later ones and stuff. My brother was there, and it had to take a wide angle lens to get all of us in that night for multiple reasons.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I guess we heard Coach Kimbrough allude to it about how you're your own man as a coach. But I would like you to talk maybe about some of the things you did take from Coach Kimbrough, some of the stuff that you learned that thought, yeah, that's got to be involved in my program.
There's still some drills, I think, that we do that we did back in Nokomis whenever I was there. A lot of the drills have changed and stuff, and just dating myself a little, we didn't have the three-point line, so that has changed the aspect of the game a lot and was a big asset to us this year and stuff. But just the intensity practice is probably the thing that I've taken, and like I said earlier, to make sure you're doing things right, execution and stuff like that are the things that I remember most working for him or playing for him. I haven't been at a Nokomis practice for a long time. I can't imagine him being any more intense than he was back at that time period. You did not want to upset Coach Kimbrough, because back at that time period, you could do a little bit more with players than you could today.
Right.
Put it that way.
Yeah, that's a good way to
do
put
a little
it.
Bit
that's
more.
Exactly right. I love watching Coach Kimbrough on the sideline, because he doesn't have to say a word. He'll sit back on the bench, cross his leg, put his arm across the other chair, and you think, uh-oh, we got a problem.
Yeah, I've seen that look a few times. And I'll be at a game watching, and like Nokomis Hillsboro game or go to Nokomis game, and I'll see something happen, and I just automatically look over at Coach Kimbrough And I just kind of come sometimes sit back and giggle a little bit and like, oh, yeah, he's not very happy right now. I don't want to go to the locker room.
No, that's exactly right. Brett Deacon, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. We were out here at the Old Time Tractor Show, and, hey, we look forward to seeing you coming up next season.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take a break. We're back in just a moment. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday at the 24th Annual Old Time Tractor Show out here in Hillsboro at the lake right in front of the old Fireman's Clubhouse. Come on out today. We got a lot of shade, a nice breeze rolling through the grounds here, a wide assortment of wonderful antique tractors out here. They'll have the tractor pedal pools coming up in just a little while. So come on out, support the Old Time Tractor Show in Hillsboro today. Yesterday had the chance to catch up with Topper football coach Aaron Duff. They are over at Moreau Forsyth today taking part in a 7-on-7, and high school football is right around the corner. We will kick it off on August the 30th, which is quickly approaching, and yesterday had a chance to catch up with Topper coach Aaron Duff.
Happy to be joined on Sports Saturday right now by Hillsboro head football coach Aaron Duff. And Duffy, hard to believe, but week one is quickly approaching here.
Yeah, we just got done this week with a full week of football camp, and I told the guys, you know, we're basically a month away, so it's getting here fast.
And with that in mind, as a coach, how does your thought process change now as we get closer and closer to kicking off the season?
A lot of things we're trying to get done now this week, and this week the heat hits us, so mm-hmm. we had to make some adjustments there. But a lot of things to get done in a hurry.
I know you had told me earlier this week you got 40 kids on your varsity team, and, hey, for 2019, that seems like a pretty good number.
Yeah, I'm very happy with that. We have 40 sophomores through seniors and then another 16 freshmen, so 56 total kids. I'm very happy with that.
We know Hillsboro, it's a football town, has been for a long time, but have you gotten the sense here this summer that the younger kids are really starting to buy into Topper football?
It's a weird time these days. Kids have so much to do, so many things going on. I mean, as a coach, and all the other coaches probably agree, you know, you got kids going everywhere for travel baseball, vacations, this, that. You know, it's hard to get everybody together at the same time. So, summers are really stressful, to be honest.
Mentioned coming off of a football camp. How did that go for you?
Very good. Really good attendance, you know, like I said, dealing with all the other stuff they have to do, but things are coming together for us. We want to improve on last year. You know, last year went 3-6, but we were very competitive, and we're going to be young in a couple spots, but very athletic in those spots.
And that was the weird thing about your season a year ago, Duffy. If you just look at the record, Hillsboro was 3-6, but that could have easily been flipped to 6-3.
Yeah, we lost three games by a touchdown each game. So, we came down to three plays. A tip pass they caught behind us, you know, was one. A drop touchdown pass for us. But that's how it goes.
Yeah.
You got to deal with it. And we tell the kids that all the time. We were three plays away from being 6-3. So we're just our goal is to come out, compete, and try to get those playoffs.
And sometimes when you have a year like that, it can make the light bulb go off for the kids. Oh. Every play does matter. Coach isn't just blowing smoke when he says that.
Yeah, it's a shame we had to, you know, lose those three games, but at the same time, you do learn something. I preach all the time the little things. You got to do these right. And finally, when a kid sees that, they go, yeah, he's not full of it. You know, he is telling me the truth.
Duffy, can you believe that you're entering your 12th season now for the Toppers?
I'm just getting old. it's crazy. You know, I'm doing this now for 25, 26 total years. I'm one of the old guys in the conference now. But, yeah, 12 years back at Hillsboro, it's gone by fast.
As we look at your team coming up this fall, you've got some kids returning, which is always a good place to start.
Yeah, got a good core group of kids that got a lot of experience last year. That's one thing, you know, we were 3-6, but we got a lot of kids last year, some experience. So we got several kids that started maybe one game, two games, and then played quite a bit. So, we got a good core, and then we had a couple new kids come out and a couple young kids that are showing a lot of promise right now.
And obviously no Jordan Gregg clone coming down the pipeline. But he seems to be like the type of kid where he could teach the players you have this year some things.
Yeah, Jordan was, you know, was a luxury to have, him be able to do anything. I mean, he kicked for us, you know, great on defense, offense, go-to guy. But, you know, this year it seems like, you know, as it's looking right now, after going through camp, we got a lot of guys to go to. So we're going to be able to share the wealth around a little bit.
And that's a nice thing to have when you don't have to necessarily just rely on one big gun. When you have multiple options, that really makes you tough to defend.
Yes. I mean, offensively, we're still going to be able to spread it out a little bit and run, you know, our spread formations and have several guys that can touch the ball. But yet then teams also have to prepare for us when we go into triple I and be able to pound the football too. So, you know, our offensive line is shaking up. I think, you know, it's shaping up to be a lot better even than last year. So, looking good. We just got to get that experience out of the way for those new guys.
Duffy, we're sitting here talking on Friday afternoon, but as this airs, you will be over at Maroon Forsyth Saturday morning for a 7-on-7, and I would imagine you're going to get some good tests over there.
Yeah, we're going to play others. We got 8 teams over there, really good competition. We go against Clifton Central first. They're always in the playoffs. Coach Stritzel's eyes, a good friend we played in college with, is the head coach there, Brian Spooner. Then we play Mercer County, and then we play Decatur St. Teresa.
Oof.
So really good quality teams. And then if we're finishing the top two, you know, we can match up with Maroa. Payne is going to be there. So some really good competition.
Duffy, how, like, with a 7-on-7 situation, obviously it's not 11-on-11, but what do you find out about your kids in a 7-on-7 setting?
7-on-7, to me, it really helps the defense more. You know, we can, you know, come up, play man-to-man and really work our kids, you know, see them match up against maybe even a better athlete, give them, like this 7-on-7, we're going to face some really good competition. It gives our kids to step up and get that experience before the season even starts. But, you know, 7-on-7, it has good things and bad. We're going to go in. We're going to run our stuff. We're not going to try just, you know, to do special things because we want to work on our offensive stuff. But it's really good for the defense. And then offensively, you do get some timing down with your quarterback and receivers.
Excellent. Aaron Duff, the head coach of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. And, hey, in about a month, we'll be talking every week.
Yeah, I'm excited. I really appreciate you guys talking to us.
That is Aaron Duff, the head coach of the Hilltopper football program. And hard to believe he's been there 12 years now, but that's exactly what he is entering, his 12th season as Toppers head coach. And hopefully the Toppers will have some football players out here coming up for the pedal tractor pull, the Hillsboro High School Sports Challenge. And the man responsible for the event is joining us now, our good buddy Donnie Downs. And Donnie, you put the headphones on. I want to talk to you. That's how that works.
I was just wanting to listen to stuff.
But, Donnie, you're such a great, great supporter of not only Hillsboro Athletics, but the Hillsboro community at large. And you mentioned to me a couple weeks ago, hey, I want to have the boys' teams and the girls' teams from Hillsboro compete against each other in this pedal tractor pull. Just talk a little bit about it and how it's come together.
Well, about a month ago, Andy Theriak and I was eating breakfast at the Moose, and, you know, he's a real strong advocate of the MCCA. He lost his daughter Cindy 10 years ago to cancer, and so he's raised a lot of money at this tractor show and pushed this and raised a lot of money and donated to the MCCA in her honor. So we talked about it, and he asked if he thought that maybe with a Sports Saturday show, if I could maybe talk to somebody and get them out here. And I thought, well, that's a heck of an idea. And he talked about the pedal tractor pull with the young kids. So I thought, well, why don't we – it's in Hillsboro. Why don't we see if we can do something with the sports teams from the high school? And he's like, well, yeah, that'd be great. So – I don't know. I kind of kicked it around, and I told Coach Duff, talked to Coach Duff about it, and he said, "Well, that's a bad Saturday. We're going to be on a 7-on-7." I'm like, "Well, surely we'll have some kids from there. I mean, even the freshmen."
Yeah.
But we talked about it, and of course, we had to check. I met you out here one day to see if you could get a signal, and that was a couple Fridays ago. Then was going to get it in the newspaper, and Mr. D pointed out to me, he said, you better check with the IHSA to make sure there's no regulations that, you know. So anyway, we looked into it, and I talked to our new athletic director, which is Coach Jeff, and he said, yeah, as long as we're not giving away prizes, and this is just a donation for the kids to come out and have fun, a little smack talk, and boys against the girls, battle of the sexes, whatever you want to call it. So it kind of came out in the paper. It was too late to get everything in the paper for Monday because we weren't sure on the times available and everything. So and Mr. D asked about, you know, make sure you find out, make sure we're not getting in any trouble or anything.
You don't want that.
Yeah, it's going to be a good deal. I hope they come out. It was kind of a last-minute deal,
right.
But, hey, maybe it's something to grow on. Next year they're going to have a 25th anniversary here of this pedal track or the tractor show.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, maybe we'll get Nokomis in Hillsborough. Maybe
Ooh, there you go.
Maybe we'll get more kids involved.
Right.
And
that's what it's all about.
Yeah, getting the kids to come out and make them feel like they, mm-hmm. they're doing something to help. You
that's
know, they're
going
to have fun. How many of them's done this before? I've never
Not
seen
many,
it
I wouldn't
before.
Think.
Yeah,
right.
So something that nobody, obviously the football players probably have better legs, but hey, my coach.
Hey, those volleyball players know how to jump now.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see what happens.
So that's going to be about 11:00 today. You got the girls basketball team taking on the boys basketball team. You got the baseball versus the softball. Boys golf against girls golf. Boys tennis against girls tennis, and then football will face the volleyball team about 11:00 out here at the Old Time Tractor Show. $5 per person to enter that, and then all the money goes to the MCCA.
Exactly.
Donnie Downs, thank you so much for joining us here on Sports Saturday, your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, the station you can count on. We're going to take a break. Still more to do from the Old Time Tractor Show when Sports Saturday rolls on following these messages. Tim Mize back here at the 24th annual Old Time Tractor Show here in Hillsboro. Come on out. It's going to be hot. We know that. But, hey, it's July in Illinois. It's always going to be hot. But we got great shade out here, a beautiful breeze rolling through the grounds right now. So come on out. Be a part of the Old Time Tractor Show as there's a lot of wonderful antique tractors out here on the grounds. You got the pedal tractor pulls coming up. They'll be beginning shortly here at the Old Time Tractor Show. Earlier this week, actually yesterday, got a call from our buddy Roger Crotterville telling me that his son Tim had been inducted or is going to be inducted into the SIU Carbondale Athletics Hall of Fame. Of course, Tim had a standout career playing in high school for Mount Olive, went on to play ball down at Carbondale for 4 years, got into pro ball for a couple of seasons, and of course he's been a coach. He's now the principal over at Pawnee, but what a great honor for Tim Crotterville. Ceremony will be in October. He will go into the Athletics Hall of Fame at SIUC, and we had a chance to catch up with Tim Crotterville.
Joining us now on Sports Saturday is Tim Crotterville. Tim was just recently selected to go into the SIU Carbondale Athletics Hall of Fame, and Tim joins us now, and man, that is an awesome honor. What's going through your mind?
Well, I was sitting back looking at some of my scrapbooks last night from Southern last night, and it just still hasn't really hit me. You know, when you look back at the history of the program and the history of athletics at SIU, you know, to think that they thought I was good enough to be part of that is a little unreal. You know, you go through it, and everything goes so fast. I mean, it's been 23 years since I graduated. And for them at this point to think that what I accomplished down there was worthy, it's just unbelievable.
When you completed your high school career, obviously decided to go to Carbondale, I mean, you knew you were good. Your dad knew you were good. But when you got on campus, what was it like there that first season especially?
I still remember walking on campus at first practice at SIU and – you know, in the fall, being in Southern Illinois, it was so hot. I remember that, stepping on the field, and the coach at the time believed all players had to be in shape and had to run a lot, which was something that was unusual coming out of Mount Olive, obviously. And I just remember standing there going, oh, my God, am I prepared for this? And, you know, I got through it, and it just was a perfect storm of a situation at Southern for me. The catcher before me was a senior, and he was an all-conference catcher, and he had graduated. And I walked on campus with basically one guy in front of me that didn't play at all, and he was a sophomore. So they gave me every opportunity to succeed and every opportunity to earn the starting position. And, you know, I worked hard and took advantage of the opportunities that were given to me. And I guess you could say the rest is history.
Absolutely. And I was told that when you left Carbondale, you had 10 offensive records for the school.
Yeah, I was ranked in the top 10 and 10 offensive records at that time. And I was looking at that again last night. And it's hard to believe, just because, like I said, as you're going through it, you're really not thinking of those types of things. You're not thinking of records. You know, you're just hoping every game that you put together a good game and give the team an opportunity to win. And, you know, at the end, when you walk away and you look back and you go, you know, it was a pretty good career at SIU.
And of course, you went on to play minor league baseball as well. But I want to take you back to your high school days at Mount Olive. And, you know, in sports, baseball specifically, players come in all different shapes and sizes. You know, basketball, you have to be a certain size. Football, you have to have a certain amount of speed or have a certain amount of size. But in baseball, if you can hit a curveball or catch up to 90-plus and you can catch the ball, you've got a chance.
Yeah, you do. And that's one of the good things about, you know, where you come from. And I never have forgotten where I've come from at Mount Olive, that, you know, baseball really is the type of sport that if you can play, they'll find you, yeah, and you'll get an opportunity to play. And it didn't matter, at least in my career, that, you know, I went to Mount Olive. I never felt going to a small school ever held me back. I felt that it was a positive for me. And it made me work harder, because people doubted me all the time coming from a small school, that, you know, that I could compete and be able to be successful there. So, you know, I have great fond memories of Mount Olive going through the program, and, you know, not only my dad trained me in the beginning, mm-hmm, but also, you know, Coach Marietta, who I had for junior high and high school, you know, he had an influence in me on my career when I was in high school. So, you know, nothing but great feelings coming out of Mount Olive High School.
And between your dad, Roger, and Terry Marietta, that is a rich baseball history at Mount Olive.
It is. And, you know, Being from Mount Olive, people a lot of times, you know, I obviously know what our program has done over the years and the history of that. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize that. They think small school, small program, not a lot of success. And if you look at our program and the players that have come out of that program over the years, there's a lot of great players, in fact, professional players over the years from the history of it to now. So, we weren't shortchanged at all coming through Mount Olive High School.
And then you got into pro ball.
I actually got an opportunity to play 2 years. I got to A-ball. But it was – that also was an eye-opening experience to get that opportunity. And it just – again, you look back at it now, and it seems like a million years ago that you were playing and having that opportunity. But I was just thankful that I did. You know, when you look at the percentage of the guys who play in college that get a chance to play, even though I didn't make it, just a chance to have that experience, you know, was once-in-a-lifetime type of thing.
Yeah, you made it a lot farther than about 99.5% of the population, I would say. Now you have a chance to watch your boys play. What's that like?
It is a totally different experience, and I know my dad has talked to me about that over the years when, you know, watching me play. It's a different sense of pride when you sit there and you watch your kids, and to me, it's more rewarding. I'm sure a lot of parents would say the same thing, but you want your kids to be successful. You want the best for them, and There is a different sense of pride when you sit on the sidelines and watch your kids be successful. And you know, my kids have had a decent career. They've had a lot of opportunities at Pawnee. And, you know, I've enjoyed every minute of it. I've enjoyed every minute being their principal. They might not have. You know, that doesn't always – it's a little different experience when your dad's the principal of the high school. But it's been awesome. And, you know, my oldest son, which is hard to believe, it's happened in a flash as a senior this year. And my middle son is going to be a sophomore, and my daughter's going to be a fifth grader. So it goes by in a heartbeat.
And when will the induction ceremony for the Carbondale Athletic Hall of Fame be?
It is October 19th, which I'm thinking off the top of my head. It's I think it's the 18th and the 19th. This is the Friday and the Saturday. It's at, actually during a football game, which is pretty cool. Big ceremony on the Friday, and then obviously honored at the football game on Saturday.
Tim Crotterville, congratulations on this awesome honor going into the Southern Illinois Carbondale Athletics Hall of Fame. We always like talking to you, sir. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on.
That was Tim Crotterville going into the Carbondale Athletics Hall of Fame coming up in October. Want to give thanks out to Brett Tekin for stopping by this morning. Also, Arlen Kasson and Judy Probst with the old-time Tractor Show. Of course, we talked to Steve Kimbrough today, the Hall of Fame coach. This upcoming season will be his 39th and final season on the sidelines for Nokomis. And thanks to Hillsboro football coach Aaron Duff as well for joining us this morning on Sports Saturday. We have more from the 24th annual Old Time Tractor Show on the way as WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne will be along shortly to bring you some more reports here as the pedal tractor pull is getting set to roll coming up right around 11 o'clock. That is Sports Saturday on your 50,000-watt voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carbondale, and Greenville. I am Tim Mize. We say so long on Sports Saturday.